This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Women currently hold just 10% of manufacturing jobs in our region, but a recently launched program at Gateway Community and Technical College is designed to improve that number by preparing women for careers in manufacturing. Gateway Dean of Workforce Solutions, Carissa Schutzman, Executive Director of the Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Vanessa Freitag, and Laura Lyons, President of ATEC Training and Chair of Gateway's Raise the Floors, are here to discuss the initiative. And Laura, the program has an interesting name, Raise the Floor. What is the significance of that name?
Well, the significance of the name has to do with raising the wage. In other words, making a sustainable wage. So that's where kind of the moniker Raise the Floor comes from, to raise the wage to what is would be a livable and sustainable wage.
And I should mention that if you'd like to join our conversation, you can call 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Carissa, what are the primary goals of this program?
Really, it's a kind of a perfect storm. We have manufacturers in the greater Cincinnati area, particularly in northern Kentucky, who need skilled workers. And we have women where there is a wage differential, and we want them to be able to matriculate into a career that provides an excellent trajectory and salary.
And Vanessa, is that correct? 10% of the manufacturing workforce is held by women? Is that figure pretty accurate?
That is. I mean, we call this a non-traditional industry. There are several others that you could probably just think of, like construction and some others. And the interesting thing is this is an industry that really pays a wonderful wage that can support a family. So when we look at who's in poverty, who's struggling in our community, 2 out of 3 children in poverty are in female-headed households. So if we can have more women going into an industry like this, this is a way that they can sustain their household, and we all gain as a community from it.
Well, why do you think that more women aren't going into the industry? Is this a case of we're just not pointing it out to them and saying, hey, this is a career choice that you have?
There are several factors. So there is the what is the history of the industry, which is predominantly male. It used to be a very physical industry where you had to have a lot of strength. And I know that Laura particularly can speak to the fact that so many of these jobs now don't require strength. They require knowledge, and men and women both bring great knowledge and great skills that way, and a little technical training. The other component, too, though, I would say, is that women also just aren't aware of this. So I think that many of our, many of the things that we look at in our lives, we just, when you say it's a manufacturer, I'm going to guess 99 out of 100 people, the picture in their head is a male. And, you know, that's just the way we all are. So we just need to change that picture.
And you think part of it might be the perception of the job itself, that people think what you're saying, it's something that requires me to be strong, something that requires me to be on the floor doing certain things that women typically haven't done.
Right.
Yes, and I might add, too, it is definitely a perception issue, and it's because they're not aware. We don't think, well, and as women, we should think lipstick has to be made, cars have to be made. It's everything in between, and almost everything we encounter in our daily lives is manufactured. And it's really just thinking about it. How do those things, you know, get made or manufactured, and then how do they go about doing that?
So, you know, many might hear women in manufacturing, they might think of the old Rosie the Riveter. Mm-hmm. That may be the image that pops into your head, and it really is quite different now, isn't it?
It is. And I think the other thing that's interesting about this is it's such a win for everyone. Manufacturers are having trouble filling all the jobs. There are nearly 700 open jobs just as we sit here in Boone County, in this area where we have a lot of manufacturers, and they are struggling to fill those jobs with qualified folks. So in order to do that, we need men and women. And so not only do the women win, the businesses win, the community wins, the family wins. It all works.
And Carissa, talk about how Raise the Floor was developed.
Janice Urbanik, who is the executive director for Partners for a Competitive Workforce, and Dr. Angie Taylor at Gateway, who's vice president of Workforce Solutions, actually met last spring and talked about ways to recruit people into manufacturing. The Northern Kentucky Industrial Partnership has identified 5 groups of potential workers, and women are one of the groups. And Janice and Angie came up with this idea to bring a collaborative group of women from different sectors, education, nonprofit organizations, as well as manufacturers, to come up with a solution to improve that pipeline, both for meeting the needs of the manufacturers as well as meeting the needs of the women and their families.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can email talk@wvxu.org, or you can also find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Vanessa, do you have an idea of the general starting pay for some of the different types of manufacturing jobs?
Yes. So as we've talked about it in this collaboration over the last 6 to 8 months, many of these jobs are starting at $13, $14, $15 an hour, which is edges on the livable wage. It's not quite there, but the other good part of it is there is a career trajectory, and it's one that's quite real. It's a ladder that men and women can climb, but women haven't been in these industries, so they haven't been climbing it. And so to give you a feel for that, in our region, a mom with maybe two children, she's going to need to earn $19 to $20 an hour in order to cover all of her needs, child care, transportation, her food, her housing. So this is an industry that absolutely offers a path to being self-sufficient.
Carissa, how does this program fit in with Gateway's other initiatives? I mean, you have other outreach efforts to develop the workforce, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. We work with area high schools to recruit both young men and young women into manufacturing. We work with the veteran population. We have Gateway Vets that we have over 170 veterans currently enrolled in Gateway, many of them in the manufacturing programs. So this kind of works right along with our 6 advanced manufacturing majors. We've put together 3 different certificates that will allow women to be ready for a manufacturing job in 4 to 8 months. Many of our manufacturing partners have apprenticeships where they pay for the students' tuition and books while they're working full-time. And we also have tuition reimbursement with many of our manufacturers. So once those women are in that workplace, and as Vanessa said, maybe starting at $13, $14, they can quickly move up to $18 to $20. We know the average salary of a machinist in Northern Kentucky is right around $70,000 a year.
Laura, what are the specific components of this program?
Well, there are essentially 4 aspects, or what we call subcommittees. We have awareness, which is basically this perception issue, and trying to promote this program to the public and also about manufacturing. We have training, which obviously would be, for instance, Gateway, to basically get the women trained into the particular positions. And then we have a support, and I think Vanessa touched on a lot of that, where they're going to need some of the support system to get into the workforce with the child care, some of the transportation. And then we have the process. The other tenet is it's 600 jobs or 700 jobs this year. Well, over 10 years, it's 6,000. So we need to build this pipeline. So there essentially is a 4-pronged approach.
How is it being funded?
Well, probably Vanessa and Carissa can add. There are several different, I think, aspects.
I think there are a lot of different ways to go about doing this. So part of this certainly is the Opportunity Gateway, for example, has been very successful in framing this program and receiving support from all sorts of grants. And I know Carissa can speak to that. But also that this is something where I think we as a community need to come together and support it. So when you look at those sort of public-private partnerships to solve complex problems, this is it. So some of this is about raising funds to ensure that we have the classes in place and scholarships for women if they can't afford the classes, but also other components. Child care is extraordinarily expensive. Transportation is a big challenge. So those are things where we are looking to have private funders that will support that.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And another thing people may think when they hear about women on the shop floor is a bad working environment from not being accepted by their male coworkers. Are those days over?
Well, I don't think they're completely over. But I would also have to say I think things are much better than they are when we think of that image maybe 40 or 50 years ago. And we've given a lot of thought to that. That's another component to the support piece. And there are at least two components to that. One is that there are female mentors and role models. Laura is a wonderful example of that, as well as I know that Gateway has a number of female professors that are great examples. I would also say, though, that one of the other components that we're looking at is building male allies. I mean, as we sit here and talk today, 90% of those in manufacturing down there are men. I think going to them and asking them, what daughters, granddaughters, nieces, neighbors do you see in your own life that you see are women who would do well? They have a skill set. You already know what it takes. Who do you think should enter this industry? And hey, get them into this program. And then those men become natural allies for those women. Even if they're not working in the same company, they become a natural ally to that woman. So I think there are just so many ways that we can get beyond some of those issues that existed years ago.
I think I'd like to add, too, that with some of our manufacturers, they have even said that they are happy to actively recruit women because they bring something different to the manufacturing floor. And just as Laura mentioned before about products that are predominantly female products, you know, to have women in that design process and in the creation process is something that the manufacturers desire, that they do bring a different skill set, a different mindset that enhances their products.
Of course, do you know how many women are taking classes now at Gateway and manufacturing programs?
We are about at the same percent as our manufacturers, between 7% and 10%,
okay,
in our programs.
And that's a number that certainly you want to increase on.
Absolutely. And we have a lot of partnerships with our high schools where students come to Gateway and they learn about the manufacturing programs. And we strongly encourage women to bring girl students to Gateway to learn about them. And they do hands-on activities. They learn to code their name into a CNC machine and print out a keychain. So it's very impactful, and we hope that that pipeline will continue to grow.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. And let's talk with Tina from Sims Township. Good afternoon, Tina.
Good afternoon.
And what's your question?
My question is, are there opportunities for older women, say in their 50s and 60s, who are able and willing to work in this program?
Everybody want to take a turn at that one?
Tina, that's a great question. We actually have identified as older, displaced or retired workers or someone looking for a job change. And there is absolutely opportunity for someone who's in the 50-plus age group in manufacturing.
And a lot of that is because, like you were saying earlier, Vanessa, the image that you have to have physical strength to do this kind of work is no longer true.
That's right. And we've had several discussions, and I think they'll continue, about women who have developed skills in other industries that may be quite transferable. So if you think about the fact that, and Laura could explain this in greater detail, but that many manufacturing jobs require the ability to use a computer-based equipment. Well, if you've learned to do that in another arena, maybe healthcare or, you know, a radiology tech, something like that, you've got some great skills that you just need a little training, go to Gateway, and, you know, you can really transition those skills into a new arena.
Absolutely. And some of those, you know, are things that we don't think about that we may already be doing in a particular job. You know, if somebody has a mechanical aptitude, chances are they're the ones that are repairing or fixing something at home. And those skills are transferable. And it's really just kind of aligning that into the, you know, this career, because there are a lot of different opportunities, you know, in the manufacturing, whether, you know, it's engineering, whether it's a technician, somebody that, you know, can diagnose problems. And women are pretty good problem solvers. I mean, look how many problems we have to solve at home, right? So we're naturally inclined towards some of these skill sets and even the attention to detail. So those are transferable. It's really just kind of exploring that and seeing what areas of manufacturing those would be better pertain for you.
Tina, thank you very much. That was a good question. And my wife is in this situation. She works in a manufacturing setting, but she's doing IT work. So that's how she's involved in manufacturing. So I guess you just have to change your perception of what it's all about.
I think that's probably the biggest challenge, in all honesty. And I mean that on all sides of this equation. I think it's a perception issue for women themselves to think of this differently. I think it's a perception issue for men to think about it differently, the companies to think about it differently. So we're all in this together. And I love the fact that by bringing together this partnership of all of these different organizations, we're able to reframe the picture of what's really out there. And that's part of what we want to do, too, in our awareness is provide some snapshots of what does it look like today? Because it probably doesn't look anything like what you believe it will be when you walk into that manufacturing floor.
Carissa, for women or students in general who are reentering the workforce, maybe stay-at-home moms who now want to find a career, is there help for them to transition into school and then a job after being away for so long?
Absolutely. And that's one of the important pieces of this initiative that we have put together. And Vanessa mentioned some of the support areas before, but, you know, we definitely want these students to come in to have some intrusive advising, meaning that we will help them identify obstacles that they may run into as they're progressing in their education and in their transition to the workforce. So, yes, we plan to wrap an entire support group around them to help them make it through the pipeline.
Now, when does Raise the Floor start, or has it started already, Laura?
We actually did the kickoff November 1st. It's National Manufacturing Month, so it was kind of appropriate for that. But we've already started it, and we're going to continue growing this. So, it's just beginning.
So it's just getting underway. And
yes.
How many women involved in that program specifically?
We have 26 women. That's what makes this unique. It was basically a collaborative effort, as I think Vanessa and Carissa attested. We're from all different areas, but we came together to collaborate, because women tend to do that, to try to raise this awareness and also provide the means for these women to transition into these jobs.
And what's the rest of the timeline, Carissa? You've got it underway. It's just started. What comes next?
Well, we are recruiting women at this point in time. We want them to start their classes in January. By the end of May, they will have completed two courses. One will give them a certified production technician certificate, and that is a certificate that is sponsored by the National Association of Manufacturers, and that's recognized countrywide in the industry. So many of them will be ready to interview and move into a entry-level position with a manufacturer, and then they can continue their education, and they may have that paid for by the manufacturer through tuition reimbursement or through apprenticeship or through financial aid, or as Vanessa has mentioned, we have some potential funding partners who are interested in sponsoring these women. So potentially they could be on the manufacturing floor in May and finished with a 20-credit-hour certificate by December of 2014.
So what's the curriculum look like? What kinds of things would I be learning about in this program?
Well, in the certified production technician, it's a fundamentals of manufacturing. So you learn things about precision measurement, problem solving, machine maintenance, safety, also some of the soft skills like teamwork and communication. Then the women will move into a circuits class where they will learn the fundamentals of electricity, and finally into our mechatronics program, which is an integrated manufacturing course that emphasizes mechanical, electrical, computer, and programmable logic control, so that when they get on the production floor, they will actually be able to work on those machines, set those machines up, and troubleshoot when they have an issue.
So it's quite extensive, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's very technical based.
On-the-job training part of it, co-ops perhaps?
Yes. Yes, we have designed it so that they can participate in co-ops. And also that'll give them an opportunity to do a little career exploration. So we have some, if maybe they're not as interested in mechatronics, there are a couple other pathways that they can pursue.
Now, is there one specific area, Vanessa, that manufacturers are most in need of skilled workers right now?
I'm not sure that I can best answer that. I'm going to guess that Laura probably
okay.
could.
Well, and I think that may depend on the area, when you're talking about nationally. Now, I know here in this area, I believe one of the biggest ones is the machine tool and mechatronics, anything you're talking about industrial, and I'm going to pipe into for electricity. We've talked about this because that's kind of been my background. I've been in manufacturing, and there is such a need for this out there that, you know, trying to promote this, we're talking about giving them skills that not only can they transfer into higher paying jobs, but, you know, also there will be jobs for it. There's a need for this.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email your questions or comments to talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And how important is it to the local economy to get more women involved in manufacturing?
It's vital. It's vital, actually, on several levels. So first, you've heard the need that exists today and the growth. So, you know, I would point out that if anyone's listening right now and says, well, gee, I don't know that I can drop everything and change my career tomorrow, this is a marathon, not a sprint, because there is this incredible growth that we know is coming in our manufacturing industries. So there's no way we'll meet this need if we don't have the skilled workers. And the skilled workers just don't exist today from the pool that's here. I think the other thing to think about in terms of our economy is that as we help women unfortunately dominate the minimum wage jobs. Almost 70% of minimum wage jobs are held by women. And this is in part the reason why you see so many families in poverty, female-headed households in poverty. So remember, as we help a woman gain her skills, gain a livable wage, well, guess what? She's purchasing more. She's paying more taxes. You know, we actually stimulate the economy in numerous ways when we address a need like this. We're not creating a need. We're actually filling the need that already exists.
I'd like to add to Vanessa's comment that in the Northern Kentucky Industrial Partnership commissioned a study, and one of their findings is that for every manufacturing job in Northern Kentucky, there is a $205,000 economic impact. So as Vanessa's saying, it's not just what's good for women and what's good for manufacturing. It is a community win to make this initiative successful.
513-419-7100 if you have any questions or comments. And what's been the reaction from the companies to all this?
Oh, they've kind of been ecstatic to know that you're going to be able to grow. You're going to be able to take orders from customers because you have the workers that are in here in place to help you meet that. That means also then we can start exporting more. And there's going to be more growth, what they talk about in exporting as well, from a manufacturer. Because if you don't have the people to produce the goods, that's not going to happen.
And I would add to that, so the Women's Fund works on both sides of the river. And what I think is also wonderful about this is this concept, this activity is replicable. And we have in our greater Cincinnati footprint clusters like this of jobs. This particular cluster is manufacturing, but there are other clusters. If you look at the upper part of the I-275 belt, you have clusters, for example, of call centers, things like that. So it's a wonderful way to take our education partners, our company partners, our nonprofit partners, our private funders and donors, and the very people who live here and solve for the equation that we all, I think, are interested in, as you alluded to, which is how do we continue to lift the economy in our region? So it is on one side of the river, but this is an opportunity for Ohio to do some learning from this and replicate it.
So what would be your advice, Carissa, to a woman who's thinking, boy, I'm interested in this, but I'm not quite sure what to do? What would be the first step they should take?
Well, we are holding some information sessions, and those are at Gateway, and anyone can contact me at Gateway on the website or at 859-442-1706, and we will be happy to have them in. If they want a one-on-one session, we're happy to meet with them, or if they'd like to come to a group information session, and maybe I can give you that information to put on your Facebook page.
Actually, I think we have the links on our site.
That's
already
great.
So
thank you.
We've got that going. 10% right now, what ideally should that number become?
At least half, because that's our population, isn't it?
That's right. Well, and we mentioned Janice Urbanek when we started this. That was the challenge, actually, that she threw to us in the room when this process started, which is, you know, what would we have to do to make sure that half those jobs are filled by women? And again, it doesn't just benefit women. It benefits the companies. It benefits families. What we have to do. So, yeah, I think that's a reasonable goal.
And are you hopeful the Gateways program can have that kind of an impact?
Absolutely. And I was going to add to your question before about what should women do besides the information session. We with our partner manufacturers, have tours where we take students, potential employees, through some of the manufacturing facilities so they get an idea of what that environment looks like. As Vanessa mentioned before, it's not your grandfather's manufacturing floor anymore. And that's very impactful for them to see what that's like and to learn about the different jobs.
Very good. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Gateway Dean of Workforce Solutions, Gateway Dean of Workforce Solutions, Carissa Schutzman, also Executive Director of the Women's Fund of the Greater Cincinnati Foundation, Vanessa Freitag, and Laura Lyons, President of ATEC Training and Chair of Gateways, raised the floor.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.